what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy looks like.
This year, we are still as proud as ever, but we are also mad as hell.
Until our brothers and sisters in Alabama and Mississippi and Nebraska and Kansas enjoy the same rights as those of us in L.A. and New York, we will continue to resist and to march.
Impeach 45!
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Germany welcomes its first gay Chechen refugee. A U.S. court clears but condemns a homophobic, hate-exporting evangelical, and Pride joins the resistance. Those stories and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Abby Dees.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the globe for the week ending June 10th, 2017.
Germany has welcomed its first gay Chechen asylum seeker. It joins Lithuania and France in acknowledging the refugee status of gay and bisexual men fleeing an attempt to eradicate them from the mostly Muslim Russian region of Chechnya. The first gay man arrived in Germany on June 6th after being granted a special humanitarian visa. He was initially interviewed at the German embassy in Moscow. According to the Associated Press, at least four other applications are pending. An embassy media release said that the federal government checks which meaningful protection can be granted in the interest of the affected person in every case. The online German newspaper Tagesspiegel noted that cases of a person being granted a residence permit based on urgent humanitarian grounds are rare. But a spokesperson for the foreign ministry told the paper that we are happy to be able to help in especially difficult cases. Human Rights Watch recently confirmed multiple reports of hundreds of men perceived to be gay or bisexual being rounded up in Chechnya, held in secret gay concentration camps, and tortured until they give up the names of all of their gay friends. Several deaths have been confirmed either during torture or in honor killings at the hands of shamed fundamentalist Muslim family members.
It was an unusual case of Ugandan activists suing a professional homophobe in U.S. federal court for crimes against humanity in their homeland. But Springfield, Massachusetts District Judge Michael Ponser dismissed those charges on June 5th that were originally filed in 2012 by Sexual Minorities Uganda, or SMUG, against preacher Scott Lively. Represented by the New York-based Center for Constitutional Rights, the activist group argued that Lively's repeated visits to Uganda that began in 2009 spread falsehoods about gay people, claimed that prayer can turn them straight, and fueled a growing climate of homophobia in the East African nation. They charged that Lively was also instrumental in helping Ugandan lawmakers draft a bill to make private, consensual adult gay sex punishable, in some cases by execution, though that provision was eventually abandoned.
Judge Ponser somewhat reluctantly decided that U.S. courts don't have jurisdiction over crimes committed on foreign soil. But his ruling was not kind to Lively, certifying the preacher's crackpot bigotry and culpability. The question before the court is not whether defendants' actions in aiding and abetting efforts to demonize, intimidate, and injure LGBTI people in Uganda constitute violations of international law. They do, he wrote. The much narrower and more technical question posed by defendants' motion is whether the limited actions taken by defendant on American soil in pursuit of his odious campaign are sufficient to give this court jurisdiction over plaintiff's claims. Since they are not sufficient, summary judgment to dismiss the case is appropriate for this and only this reason.
They are so far from normalcy that they're killers. They're serial killers, mass murderers. They're people, they're sociopaths, right? There's no mercy at all. There's no nurturing. There's no caring about anybody else.
Scott Lively is the founder of Abiding Truth Ministries and preaches, among other things, that homosexuals were the true inventors of Nazism and the guiding force behind many Nazi atrocities, and that the rainbow flag is a symbol of the end times. Lively issued a statement on his website thanking the Almighty for his deliverance from this outrageous and malicious litigation to silence my voice for biblical truth on LGBT issues, and for daring to speak against the gay agenda. SMUG spokesperson Frank Mugisha said that while his group was disappointed that the case had been dismissed, by having a court recognize that persecution of LGBTI people amounts to a crime against humanity, he noted, we have already been able to hold Lively to account and reduce his dangerous influence in Uganda. Lively has also taken his anti-queer campaign to Russia and claimed credit for the enactment of that country's notorious no-promo-homo law that criminalizes any public expression of support for queer rights.
In other news, the Scottish Episcopal Church, which is part of the Global Anglican Communion, has become the first major Christian denomination in the UK to bless the marriages of same-gender couples. A vote of the Church Synod, meeting in Edinburgh on June 8th, amended canon law to remove the stipulation that marriage is between a man and a woman. However, each member of the clergy must express their willingness to officiate at the weddings of same-gender couples, and no clergy person will be forced to do so. Any gay or lesbian Anglican church couple will now be free to find a Scottish Episcopal Church clergy person who's willing to marry them. Civil marriage in Scotland was open to lesbian and gay couples in 2014. The move to bless the wedding of same-gender couples required the approval of at least two-thirds of each Scottish Episcopal Church House of Bishops, clergy, and laity. But the vote has left them at odds with most of the rest of the Global Anglican Communion. Like the Episcopal Church in the U.S., which voted to marry same-gender couples, the Scottish Episcopal Church can expect serious blowback from socially conservative Anglican congregations in Africa, South America, and Asia. They constitute a majority and all adhere to what they believe to be a strict biblical condemnation of same-gender sex. The Communion punished the U.S. Episcopal denomination with exclusion from a number of important Anglican functions for violating church doctrine on marriage.
And finally, the U.S. United Methodist Church made its own religious history this week by appointing a first-ever non-binary transgender deacon. M. Barclay, who identifies as neither male nor female and uses they as their pronoun, was commissioned by Bishop Sally Dick at the Northern Illinois Conference on June 4th. Barclay previously worked as the director of communications for Reconciling Ministries Network, an unofficial United Methodist group that advocates for full inclusion of LGBTQ people in the church. United Methodist doctrine doesn't specifically prohibit the ordination of transgender clergy, but engaging in sexual relations outside of heterosexual marriage does. Claiming more than 12 million members worldwide, including more than 7 million in the U.S. alone, the United Methodist Church is one of the largest Christian denominations in America. Having been officially commissioned, M. Barclay now enters a 2-year provisional period and is on track to be ordained in 2019. And although United Methodist Church clergy are not required to wear their collar at all times, Barclay intends to do so. "I feel very called to do that," they said. "A visibly trans person who is an extension of the church, queer trans people need to see that," Barclay added. "They need to see themselves reflected in the life of faith."
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 10th, 2017. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Abby Dees.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
May have gone to your local march or heard about it on the news. Hundreds of thousands of people across the U.S. in places as diverse as Missoula, Montana, and Honolulu, Hawaii participated in what were called equality marches or resist marches on June 11th to protest the policies of the Trump administration and its supporters. The Resist March and rally in West Hollywood stole many of the mainstream media headlines. But here's a taste of the speakers at the Equality March in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Washington. I'm Charlie Carver. I'm an actor, and a proud gay man, every gain towards full equality that we have made so far has not been granted to us as a kindness by those in power. It is not their gift, but our own hard-won reclamation of our natural birthright. So we will march today to let this administration know that we will not stop in that fight until we as a community have full equality, protections, and safety under the law.
My name is Asia Kate Dillon. I am the first non-binary gender identifying actor to play a non-binary gender identifying character on a major television series. We march to affirm our commitment to the reality that assigned sex does not surpass identity, nor should assigned sex seal our fate when it comes to the clothing it is acceptable for us to wear, the job it is acceptable for us to have, the pronoun it is acceptable for us to use, the health care it is acceptable for us to have access to, the bathroom it is acceptable for us to use, or the people it is acceptable for us to love.
My name is Chase Strangio, and I have the privilege of working at the ACLU. You are the resistance to the systems that seek to destroy our communities, that seek to target the black and brown women and femmes of color who sparked our movements. And today and every day moving forward, I love you, I fight for you, and your beautiful bodies and visions and resilience. Thank you so much for being here.
Three leading California members of Congress got politically personal in West Hollywood. Adam Schiff has been all over the news as the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee investigating the sputtering Trump administration. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi is hoping to regain the speakership after the 2018 midterm elections. And Maxine Waters has been rousing the rabble for decades.
For years, we have gathered in these streets to celebrate our pride. And this year, we are still as proud as ever, but we are also mad as hell. The LGBTQ community has always been the tip of the spear of the resistance. This community has been at the forefront of so much positive change in our country. Today, we march. We march for accountability. We march for our Constitution and for the rule of law, for love of this country, and for the simple quality that this president so manifestly lacks, and that is basic human decency. It is up to us to take a stand. When the Republicans in Congress try to take health care from millions of people, to cut Medicaid, to make it so that those with pre-existing conditions can't get insurance, we resist. When President Trump walks away from historic climate change, a decision that won't create a single job but relinquishes our leadership around the world, we resist. When President Trump divides our nation by demonizing Muslims or Latinos, or attacking a woman's right to choose, or who someone chooses to love, we resist. We are going to march, we're going to make our voices heard, and we are going to vote. Who is the change? Who is the change? God bless you, California.
We have to remember that with our hearts and souls, we started this march at the program with the mayor and others. We talked about those who lost their lives, the 49 at Pulse. Our heart breaks for them. But every step that we took today in that march, and every step we take forward to end discrimination in our country, is a patriotic act. We end discrimination, we improve equality, we make America more American.
I am so pleased, I am so proud, I am so honored to be here today. You are me and I am you. And we are one. We are here today to send a message loud and clear, not only across this country, but across the world. We resist homophobia. We resist racism. We resist poverty, anti-Semitism, and we resist hatred toward Muslims and all religions. We are here to send that message because we know a lot of people are feeling what we are feeling. They want someone to speak out for them. They are so pleased that we are organizing and marching today. They're pleased because they don't know what to make of this man in Washington, D.C., who calls himself President of the United States of America. He's not my president. He's not your president. He lies. He cheats. He's a bully. He disrespects us all. We resist this president because he stands for the worst of everything. And guess what? I know that people may not quite be ready. I know that some are a little hesitant. I know that some are saying, I'm not so sure, Maxine, what you're saying is the right thing to say, but I'm saying impeach 45! Impeach 45! Impeach 45! Impeach 45! I love you all, and I know that we're going to take our country back from him. I know that you have the strength. I know that you have the courage. And I know that each of you understand you have the power. Stay woke.
You're listening to a few highlights from the West Hollywood Resist with Pride March and Rally on June 11th. Actor-activist America Ferrera, best known for her starring role on TV's Ugly Betty, discussed the intersection of homophobia and xenophobia in her introduction of a proudly gay dreamer.
Dreamers are young people who were brought to this country without documentation when they were children. And they're named dreamers after a law that was proposed called the Dream Act, which would have granted them a pathway to citizenship. Unfortunately, despite it having more than 70% approval, the bill failed to pass by the GOP-led Congress in 2010. So these young people, they don't know any other country. They grew up in America. They were educated in America. They stood up and pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America alongside you and me. They serve in our U.S. military. Some get deported after serving in our U.S. military and are fighting to be acknowledged as a citizen of the country that they put their lives on the line for. And some have even died protecting this country that they call home. But their exceptionalism is not what makes them deserving of our support and protection. The fact that they are human beings is what makes them deserving of their dignity and of our humanity towards them.
My name is Jose Guevara. I'm a student at Cal State LA. I'm here to resist today because I'm an undocumented migrant from El Salvador who came to the U.S. at the age of 10, came out as gay at the age of 14, and battle leukemia since I was 15. I am here to share my personal story with you, but not to make you feel pity. Hell, I'm not even here to inspire you. I'm here to tell you to wake up, to get involved, to make those calls. Si se puede, your favorite social media post about this march will not make a change. But I'm here, most importantly, to humbly remind you that if your movement isn't intersectional and leaves out immigrants, the ill, our trans friends, my parents, I want no part of it. The Statue of Liberty says, give me your tired, give me your poor, your huddled muscles, yearning to be free. I am yearning to be free. I'm already home, and I'm here to stay. Thank you all.
Two representatives from Black Lives Matter underscored the connections between homophobia, transphobia, and racism.
Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter! My name is Patrice Cullors, and I'm one of the co-founders of Black Lives Matter. And I resist the onslaught of terror coming from 45 and his administration. We have been here, queer and trans and gay and lesbian and poly and pansexual. We have resisted bath raids and bar raids. We've resisted being shunned from our churches and temples and mosques. We've resisted being locked out of the formal economy. We have resisted the gender binary. We have resisted death. We have resisted death like the magical human beings that we are. We have resisted homophobic and transphobic laws. We have resisted and we have been triumphant. Us, queer and trans folks, undocumented, black, disabled, we have been on the front lines of the resistance. We have been the architects of the resistance, and we will fight for the lives of our people. This government will not stop us. We will be triumphant, and we will win.
Hello, everyone. My name is Christopher Jackson. I believe in Black Lives Matter. I believe in Black Queer Lives Matter. I believe in Black Trans Lives Matter. I believe that all Black lives matter. When we say all lives matter, it takes away from those individuals who are always marginalized. I am here today to resist white supremacy. I'm here today to resist homophobia. I am here today to resist transphobia. I am here today to simply resist. Black Lives Matter is not only about black lives. We stand with our Latino brothers and sisters who are fighting the fight. We stand with our Asian brothers and sisters who are fighting the fight. We stand with our trans brothers and sisters who are fighting this fight. If you are not fighting this fight for everyone, you are not fighting. Resistance is life, and we refuse to die. Resistance is life, and we refuse to die.
Ashe, y'all.
Ashe.
John Duran is a longtime West Hollywood City Council member. He also chairs the National Association of Latino Elected and Appointed Officials. He closes out our selected coverage of the June 11th Equality and Resist marches by placing them in some historical context. Local music makers then bring it on home.
I've been asked by people, especially young people, what happened to the parade? I mean, what about gay pride? And why are we doing a resist march? What do you think the parade was about these past 40 years? Which one of you was bullied on the playground and shoved down to the floor and spat upon and kicked and called queer or faggot? Which one of you finally resisted and stood up and said, I will fight back for my right to be? And which one of you were disowned by your biological families or thrown out of your churches, your temples, and your synagogues? And stood up and resisted and said, I am willing to fight back even if it defines your definition of God, because I am and will continue to be. We have resisted presidents, Congress members, clergy members, military generals, and we have created our own families, our own communities, our own institutions, our own churches, and our own synagogues, because of our defiance and resistance since day one. But we have paid dearly. We have paid in blood like every other minority community in this country's history. 675,000 Americans died of AIDS during the 80s and 90s, and those were our lovers and our brothers and our family members. You wouldn't have your wedding bells and wedding cakes if they had not sacrificed their lives for you in the 1980s and 1990s. And we have been victimized by hate crimes and by murder and by suicide and by alcoholism. So you ask, how much longer will we resist and march until our brothers and sisters in Alabama and Mississippi and Nebraska and Kansas enjoy the same rights as those of us in LA and New York? We will continue to resist and to march. And we do not pledge allegiance to any president. We do not pledge allegiance to either political party. We do not pledge allegiance to the military or to church leaders. We pledge allegiance to one another and the Constitution of the United States, which guaranteed liberty and justice for all. So, if you are an immigrant seeking sanctuary in this great nation, we are not here to build walls to keep you out. We are here to build lives and homes with you in this great nation. And if you are Muslim or Sikh or Christian or Jew or atheist, we are not here to create travel bans to keep you away. We will make sure that Lady Liberty's torch over New York Harbor applies to you as it has for religious and ethnic minorities over all our country's history. Continue to resist. And thank you to all of our straight allies who are here with us today. We love you and we appreciate you marching with us until we overcome this fascism in our country. God bless and thank you.
Let's hear it for the Gay Man's Chorus of Los Angeles, the Trans Chorus of Los Angeles, and the West Coast Singers. Thank you.
You've been listening to a few highlights from the D.C. and West Hollywood Equality and Resist marches on June 11th. Keep on marching. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. This week, Abby Dees and Wenzel Jones contributed program material, with thanks as always to Steve Pride. Rush performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our listener donors, for making this program possible. Email tworadio at aol.com or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Richard Chappelle and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WEFT Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, KRFP Moscow, Idaho, KFRC Kingston, Ontario, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.